Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Welcome to another episode of the Powered by Transova podcast. Today we have with us two lovely ladies who are both involved in operations here at Transova and are very integral players in all of the business that goes on. I will let you guys introduce yourselves. Tressa, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, your job, and how you got to be where you are today.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm Tressa Lacey. I grew up in Central Missouri on a beef backgrounding operation. I attended Mizzou, where I got my bachelor's in animal science. While I was there, I was fortunate enough to have Dr. Michael Smith as one of my professors for reproductive management. And the rest is pretty much history from there. I started with Transova back in 2016 as a professional services embryologist and moved to Wisconsin in 2017 for Transova to cover some work temporarily. Ended up falling in love with the state and the diversity of the ag industry here. Was a part of bringing our IVF lab on in Madison in 2020. And I now serve as a regional operations director for the Great Lakes.
Thank you, Tressa. Thanks for joining us today. Kayla, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of background about yourself as well?
Absolutely. My name's Kayla Barton. I am from the East region, so bringing you guys over to the warmer part of the United States for where Tressa's in the little cooler states out there in Wisconsin. But I have been with Transova for about a total of 4.5 years. I have a dairy background. I grew up showing dairy cattle with my family. I went to school at Virginia Tech to get a degree in dairy science. And from there, I went and worked on a couple farms. I was in Illinois. I was up in the northern part of the East region in Connecticut, working with some show animals and show herds there. And then I found an opportunity to come back home and work at Transova on our farm team here. So I started in, I believe it was 2019. I came and worked for Transova 2019 or 2020. And then I moved into our client service manager role here and now serve in the same role that Tressa alluded to for herself in the Great Lakes as our director of operations for the East region.
Awesome. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us today. We are going to talk on the topic of satellites, PWPs, on-farm procedures, all the different options that Transova can offer clients. I think we throw out terms like alphabet soup. And, you know, I think sometimes our clients get a little confused on what is available, what are their options, and, you know, where can they take their cows to get IVF flushed or even to put embryos in. So we're going to do a deep dive into all of that today with Tressa and Kayla. So let's jump right in. And Tressa, can you give us a definition of what a satellite is and then what is a PWP?
Yeah, so a satellite is a location that a Transova team performs the collections, and you also will work with a client service representative that works for Transova, whereas a PWP is an acronym that means partnering with practitioners. And so a PWP is a veterinarian and their staff that can utilize the Transova lab for fertilization and culture of oocytes and then growing embryos. But if you're working with a PWP, then they're going to be the contact point and the collection team. And you're really going to use them as your resource to utilize the lab as far as communication goes, scheduling cows, that sort of thing. And then as far as the number of satellites that we have, we're at 58 right now. And then we have 33 PWPs. We're always adding more to the system. But if you want to see a current list of what those locations are, then I suggest you go to our website. We have a beautiful map so you can look at where you're located and then zoom in from there to see what's closest to you.
Very good. That's a number of locations to keep track of. And I know Emily and I, we often are updating that map that's on the website that you just referenced to. And so a lot of times we're focused on those regional centers, those satellite centers, or those PWPs. Kayla, can you maybe give us the other side of that story a little bit that, you know, what can we do on farm? Can you give us a little bit of background into those options as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question to ask, as we have a lot of different versatile clients within the business that we're in. So you have clients that maybe just have one or two nice animals they want to run and make embryos out of. So maybe your options are going through a PWP or satellite. But then we also have larger clients that are trying to stay competitive in the genetics world, or seed stocks that are trying to grow their operations. So how can you do that whenever you can't go to satellite with a load of 10 animals when you want to run 20? So we do have the option at Transova Genetics to do on-farm work. So we can work with an operation or a farmer directly to send a team on-farm to perform basically what we're doing at a satellite. But we do require a minimum number of head to come on farm. There are some other regulations that we try to make sure that the farmer is equipped with before we send a team out there. So proper setup. And the main reason to do that is, at the end of the day, Transova wants our clients to have the best results. So we want to make sure when we're sending a team out there that we provide the service that we want to provide to our clients. And at the end of the day, give you the embryo results you want to see. So overall, in regards to doing on-farm work, we can definitely do it. We can send a team out. And if you wanted to have those conversations or navigate what that's going to look like for you and your herd, you can talk to your client service rep. And we internally will line that all up. But it's definitely an option for farmers. We do it a lot all over the United States, and try to be competitive and get out there and make embryos for our clients in that setting as well, too.
So I think that's a great point, Kayla. And, you know, you alluded to there's some requirements for the on-farm procedures that we'd have to talk about before you get your cow set up for our team to come to you. Tressa, could you maybe go into kind of the facility requirements of what satellites are already set up, have ready to go, that on-farm situations would need to have in order to have us come out? Because a lot of that goes into results, right? So, you know, we want to set everybody up for success. Maybe go into what some of that requirements are.
Absolutely. The parameters for doing an IVF collection are more stringent than doing a conventional flush. So whenever we're looking at setting up an on-farm, we want to keep in mind that wherever we're doing the collections, we want it to be a temperature-controlled room. You know, we really want it to be at least 60 degrees. Sometimes upper 60s to 70s. And then we also need a clean searching location. And so when I say clean, that just means free of dirt, mold, and we don't want direct sunlight wherever the embryologist is searching the oocytes. From there, we can usually be pretty creative, but those are pretty much the basics of what we need whenever we're talking about doing collections on farm.
What about for like embryo transfer or conventional flushing? I mean, those requirements are a little less strict compared to IVF.
Yeah, I would say our differences are between all of those options. We can't require you to always have a clean facility when we're coming to do transfers. We've got big transfer trips that we got to go in and walk down the line of headlocks and start transferring embryos. So you're definitely going to have different requirements for different things. I think to just elaborate a little bit with what Tressa was speaking about, then really the moral of it all is cleanliness. We're doing things behind the scenes and changing Mother Nature really at the end of the day through a petri dish. So how do we make sure that everything that we give to our lab and everything through the entire process is to the T that we want it to see? So results come out. We don't run into contamination issues. We're keeping things as clean and tidy as you possibly would want them. And it all comes into quality control and making sure that results come out. So there is a little bit of a difference, and we're probably more strenuous in regards to requirements for IVF purposes. But when it comes down to transfers and doing ET flushes and things of that nature, there is a little less regulation to it than we would require for IVF.
So I can add to that a little bit. If you're looking at having us on farm just to do a conventional flush, the ambient temperature isn't quite as important. You know, we can comfortably flush an animal at like 45, 50 degrees. We want to make sure that the lab is a similar temperature so those embryos don't have any major like temperature changes. And then for transfers, obviously we do use gun warmers and that kind of stuff, but you really want to make sure you're blocked from any wind. That way, whenever that embryo is leaving the gun warmer and then going into the recip, we don't have a major shock of temperature there. But we've definitely had success, you know, in those winter days, whether we're doing transfers in the fall time or right there in January, where if we're cognizant of the wind and we have facilities that we can move animals through quickly, that's pretty much all you really need for transfers.
Here, I thought you were going to say you preferred to only go to warm tropical environments. Like, I thought maybe that could be a requirement, but it sounds like you'll go to the cold too. So I'm a client and I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm very thankful that somebody's finally explained the alphabet soup that Emily mentioned before. And I know now what the options are. How do I determine, you know, what is the best place to start, or which location is the best, or, you know, all of the coordination that is involved? Kayla, I know you've got a background in client service that you mentioned. Pretend that I'm a client and I want to know, you know, how do I decide how to move forward with one of these options?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. And it's ultimately, at the end of the day, where I like to start is, what are your goals and what's going to be the best option for you as a client? So we talked and we walked through what these different options are that are available for clients. So we talked a little bit about the on-farms that I mentioned. So are you a bigger client and you're looking to run 15 head and you can't fit them all in a trailer and the PWP or the satellite option is not available for you, like, then that is a good candidate for coming on farm and doing multiple donors at one location for one client. So if you're that kind of client, I think on farm is probably going to be your best route to get as many donors as you want done on a single day by a Transova team and make as many embryos as possible. Most of our clients are probably going to dabble mostly into trying to pick between a satellite and a PWP. The PWP option is a very good option for our clients to use. Anybody that is signed up with us as a PWP are trained through Transova. We have a training program and they're signed off by a Transova team before they go out and do live production. So it is not working directly with a Transova employee at the end of the day, but they are trained and up to speed with our protocols, our requirements and everything like that. So before they hit the streets and start IVF and cows, they are coming to Transova to get signed off, both the technician and their embryologist. So we try to make sure no matter the service that you're getting from Transova is consistent and that, again, at the end of the day, results are going to come out the way you expect them. So dive a little bit deeper into your options between a satellite and a PWP. So if you're looking for a satellite location, that might be the reason, might be because it's closer to you, or you like the advantage of talking directly to Transova, and having a client service rep, at hand whenever it comes to working through a satellite, or maybe it comes down to that satellite can offer you donor housing, or the satellite, we have a lot of satellite centers where those guys might offer recips where you can transfer at. So maybe that is a benefit to you. And that's, we have a lot of satellites in our region and across the states and throughout Transova that do offer those services. And then on top of that, when you go into PWPs and look at that route, maybe you have a closer relationship with your vet, and your vet is doing your herd checks and doing your transfers, and then they add on another tool in their toolbox to offer IVF. So they're seeing your production from start to finish, and you have that relationship built. A PWP might be your better route. Or if you're in a location where maybe Transova hasn't become as much present with satellites or a team to come on farm, but we have a PWP that's representing Transova in that area, convenience becomes a factor too. So a lot of different things to think through. But I think as you're trying to make that decision, really sit down and think, what's your end goal? What are you looking for to get out of this? At the end of the day, Transova is here to support all of those options. We're partners with our PWPs. We're partners with our satellite owners. And at the end of the day, we want to make sure our clients are happy with the performance, the results, and really getting live calves on the ground is everybody's end goal.
A lot of great points there, Kayla. And I think, you know, having the flexibility of multiple options of where to take your cows and figuring out what's best for you, I think, is an advantage of the Transova system. And that's a hot topic that we've talked a lot about internally and with clients out at events, is that people just don't want to have to haul their cows all over the country anymore. It's nice to be able to go a few miles down the road to the local satellite or PWP, or have somebody come to my house too. Because I mean, a lot of people just have a few cows, or you know, can go together with their neighbors and get something done that way. So a lot of great points there, a lot of good options. Tressa, you know, Kayla had mentioned the on-farm scenario of requirements and all of that. Tell us a little bit more about if I'm interested of having Transova come to my farm for an on-farm OPU IVF day. What does that process look like to get started? How far in advance should I be calling to get that set up?
Well, that's a lot of good questions there, Emily. There's a few variables, so I'm going to try to just go with like the basic answer here. But the first thing you need to do is call and talk to your client service representative, because they're going to be able to answer that timetable a little bit better than I can. It depends on the time of year. It depends how far away you are from one of our teams and your location from the lab. Those are all logistics that go into play whenever we talk about scheduling an on-farm. But then from there, you know, back to what Kayla was saying earlier, what are your goals? If we're going to be utilizing this on-farm for doing some fresh transfers, we want to make sure that we have that on our radar whenever we're setting it up, so we can make sure that logistically it all will flow from doing the collection to then doing the transfers. But then also we're going to talk about facilities. So it's the same thing as what we were talking about earlier with satellites. You know, if you're trying to do an on-farm and you don't have a temperature-controlled room, then we're probably going to have to figure out a different option, or we're going to have to wait until you can do the type of construction that you need on your facilities to make that possible. So there's a few different things, you know, for you to be thinking about, but the first step is to call your client service rep. And if you don't already have one, then you can go to our website, look at our regional centers, and then call that regional center that's closest to you. And then we'll set someone up to help you work through that process.
Very good. A lot of good information and a lot more details that will go into that kind of a conversation, like you mentioned, Tressa, that once you, you know, are looking forward to move with that, that you can talk through with a Transova team member representative or client service representative. I'm going to throw a question at both of you that isn't on our list, just because I know you guys introduced yourselves as, you know, operation directors for your respective regions. Maybe go briefly into that a little bit more and what your like daily job duties entail. What do you do in that role? And how you kind of oversee, you know, all the things that we're talking about today, just kind of how that all ties together.
Yeah, absolutely. I can take a stab at it here first, and then Tressa, whatever I miss, since we kind of are doing the same thing day in and day out, you can add to what I say. But I would say overall, our job is different every single day. When I walk through the door, my team might need something different from us than what I provided yesterday, or maybe there's a new hurdle or a new client or perspective down the road that we need to be tackling, which is probably my favorite part about my job, is getting to deal with different things, different situations, and seeing our business and our employees grow. So kind of on a day-to-day, what I typically oversee and work with the teams on is that what from when we start with a client from point A to the time we finish at point B, everything runs seamlessly through that entire process. So operationally, we're making sure that logistics are flowing the way they should. We're properly billing clients the way they should be billed. We're making sure our clients are having a good experience with us, scheduling teams, and working with pretty much everybody within the building to make sure, like I said, from point A to point B, what the client's expectations are being met, and we do it flawlessly.
Yeah, I mean, Kayla definitely covered all the variety that we have. Overall, the responsibility for us is to, you know, oversee the budget, and we're in charge of resource allocation. And so resources is, you know, equipment. And then it's also vehicles, and it's also, you know, do we need to hire another team? What does the growth look like? And then projecting that so we can make sure that we have the resources whenever the demand is there. The other thing that I think falls on the operations plate is employee retention. And that's something that I'm very passionate about. You know, Kayla was talking a lot about the external experience, which is definitely, you know, 50% of what ops is, but then the other 50% is internal. So as we oversee our region, it's meeting our employees where they're at and figuring out what we need to provide for them to be successful. So I like that our role is very heavily involved in both aspects of the company. I'm really passionate about the people that I work with, and I'm really passionate about the clients that we have.
Yeah, and I think just to add to that, and in regards to our role in the company in general, you know, everything that's getting done from the time your cow walks into a chute, from the time you receive an embryo in a tank that gets shipped to you, it's human hands that are making that all happen. So it's awesome to see our teams pull together, make that happen, and do it flawlessly. And it's not an easy task at the end of the day when you've got hundreds of ferts running through our labs. But it's tremendous to see that our teams can do that, and having a pulse on making sure that happens for our clients. So it's 100% what Tressa said of, you know, 50% is our clients, but 50% is our team making it happen too. And it takes every single person from start to finish to make it work.
Absolutely. Great points. And I think that just kind of all ties it together of what we were talking about before of options for clients, and then you two on the back end of making it work, or you know, figuring it out of how we move those puzzle pieces around to make that work for our clients and giving them the best results possible, but also supporting our teams to be able to do what they do on a daily basis. So with that, Kayla, what are the areas that you all see as opportunities for Transova to continue to grow?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, Transova's motto, we're multiplying success. So we're going to take every opportunity we can and make it a positive and try and get it done. So I would say where we're probably targeting are areas of focus. We did just add a new lab down in Lawrenceville, Georgia. So we're growing that area. We're growing that region, as well as we have a lab in Idaho that we're growing in that area as well. It's not to say that our other regions aren't continuing to grow, but maybe our main focus when we talk solely about what's happening in the United States right now. And I think at the end of the day, if you're listening to this and you're like, wow, I think I would be in a great spot to navigate an opportunity with Transova Genetics. If you don't ask, your answer is always going to be no, is something I firmly believe in. So if you think you are the right fit for Transova or you're interested in those, reach out, talk to the operations directors at regions, at the region that you're closest to, or the sales managers that we have on staff as well. We have regional business managers that are constantly on the road trying to grow our business as well too. We're always here to have those conversations and provide opportunities, not only for Transova to grow, but to become, like Emily said earlier, we're all trying to be convenient with where we're at and getting convenient with clients. So how do we continue to provide more opportunities for our clients? And we have multiple options that we talked through today about how to do that. And is it on farm? Is it adding another PWP, or is it adding another satellite? So we're always open to adding or talking through what that's going to look like with clients. But if you don't ask, your answer is always going to be no.
Very good. I guess there's the common theme that I've heard from you two ladies as we've talked today is that, you know, we're looking to make things work for clients, and convenience has been a major factor of this discussion. But you both have really done a great job of driving the point home that success is probably more important than even conveniences. And so you've talked a lot about the, you know, the necessary steps that have to be taken and the necessary requirements of different locations, you know, and that's just because you said we're trying to multiply success, and that's a huge part of all of that. So I appreciate the insight that you guys have provided today.
Absolutely. It's been a great opportunity to hop on here with our two lovely ladies with marketing. If we really want to get into the weeds of on farms and PWPs and satellite centers, you as clients are never going to hear about it without these two ladies. So they put in a lot of work to market our satellites, make sure our clients know where we are and our presence. So shout out to them too. It's not just us behind the scenes making things work in operations. We got marketing, HR, all of those guys play an influence to make sure our clients are successful, like we're talking about here today.
Oh, stop it.
And we didn't even pay you to say that.
Yeah.
I'll get paid for it later. Don't worry, girls.
Anyway, is there anything else before we wrap that we didn't ask you about that you would like to add on this topic before we call it a day here?
No, I don't have anything. I think we covered it pretty thoroughly. Obviously, if clients have any questions after they've listened to this, you know where to find us.
Definitely. We will link some contact info for Tressa and Kayla in the show notes of this episode. So if you have questions, feel free to reach out, and we will link Taylor and Renee's info as well for the Plains in the Western region. So if you are not located in the Great Lakes or the East, and maybe we should define what those regions are. Maybe you guys want to tell what states you cover first before. If you're not in any of those states, reach out to somebody else. No, you can reach out to these ladies, and they'll point you in the right direction. But I'll link the other emails as well.
Yeah, I can go first. So the Great Lakes region is probably the smallest region that we have when you talk about states. It consists of Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. We get just the tiniest bit of eastern Iowa and Minnesota, but that's just because it's a shorter drive time to the Madison Lab than it is out to headquarters in Sioux Center. So although we pretty much only have, you know, those four states, there's a lot of cattle saturated in that area, to say the least. So that's what makes up the Great Lakes.
Yeah, and for the East region, I oversee from pretty much Maine down to Florida and then out to kind of Ohio line. So pretty much cover a large portion of our East. So I do, Mike Creek is also one that helps assist with our Southeast team in our South region. So Texas and those locations is assistance in that. And then Taylor is all the West Coast. So your California, your Washington, Colorado, those areas. And then you get into the plains of Iowa and South Dakota and those places that Renee Schepeltz will oversee that region. So we're all kind of split within the United States of where we're working. But at the end of the day, we all stay in touch with everything that's going on. So like Tressa and Emily and has alluded to, if you're like, I don't even know what region I'm in, just reach out to one of us. We talk on a regular basis and we'll make sure you get in the hands that you need to get into.
Perfect. Well, thank you both so much for joining us today. It's been great to chat, and we will for sure have you back on another time for another topic. But feel free to reach out to anybody on the team if you have additional questions. And if there is a topic that you want to hear about, feel free to reach out to more information at transova.com. And let us know if there's a topic that you want to hear about. We're happy to get that going. We're always looking for new stuff to talk about on the podcast. So any recommendations you have, we will gladly accept.
Yep. And there's also the contact us form that's on our website. Emily and I get most of those inquiries. And so you can reach us that way as well. And if you want to share any positive things, that's where to go.
Perfect. Well, thanks again. And we will catch everybody next time on the Powered by Transova podcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.